This is the August 23 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Kurt Kimmel. He's of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana. And Merrill Crowley is with Midwest Market Solutions out of Watseka, Illinois. Let's start with this discussion point. Merrill, all week long, the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour has been in Ohio and Indiana, Illinois, South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Iowa. We have yet to see those last two states' numbers, but the numbers have been really good to this point. Has it made a difference in Chicago?
Well, I really think that's why one of the big reasons why Chicago's been going down. You've also got some late season rains here in August that has helped. The traders still think rains make grains, and I know it would help the beans, although I think one of the things they're seeing on the progress tour is they're not seeing more blooms on the beans, so that's interesting. But at least it should be helping the beans fill out, and any of the later corn should be getting better. But, yeah, I think that's been the main driver for the sell-off.
When we look forward into the September crop production report, will we get a lean, relatively speaking, from these numbers as to which direction USDA might push that record yield they're talking about for corn and soybeans?
Well, we'll definitely get a better handle on actual sample surveys and so forth, but I imagine they've pretty well established a trend in here. We got a big crop. How big? We'll argue this clear into next year. And it kind of, the September kind of ends the market direction or sense from a stance we're going from a supply-driven market into this fall. We'll go move into a demand-driven market. So we're seeing a shift in psychology in through here, but the September report will cap sort of the supply situation.
So we're going to have a big supply. We better have a darn big demand.
Oh, yeah, we got a huge, huge demand, particularly in corn. Now, the question is beans, of course, and the fear that's set into the market to add to Merrill's Pro Farmer Crop Tour is this African swine fever concern in China. It's kind of a huge event, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger every day. We started out seeing just one herd of about 38 head affected. Then we moved to a second herd. We're to a third, fourth, fifth herd, but these later herds of hogs are actually 1,200 miles away from the first outbreak. And I've seen and heard of numbers as high as 20, 30,000 head being affected. Now, the Chinese hog herd is 750, 800 million head, but man, if this thing takes off, it could really escalate. There are estimates that maybe 5 to 20% of the hog herd could be affected. That could equate to 25 million to over 150 million head, maybe.
Well, in this case, the ethanol plants that China is putting together and that we read about on Thursday afternoon on the wire services, they were going to consume maybe some internal corn. They're going to have to consume a lot of corn because those hogs eat a lot of corn from all across the planet.
Corn and meal, but the other part of the demand picture that's ongoing is the ethanol demand in China. We go to the 10% blend by 2020, that's huge. They've already publicly stated this week that they're going to go ahead and follow through on like 15 districts. I don't know how many districts there are in China, but they made the commitment and they're going to follow through. So they got to have something to fuel those ethanol plants to get that ethanol. But it's not only China, Brazil, that's another big ethanol hotspot too.
Hey, Wayne Nelson, coming back to here in the United States and what Chip Flory and the crew from Pro Farmer have been finding, the Illinois numbers were down dramatically from what USDA says should be a 207 bushel record corn crop in the state. However, the numbers that they came through, and I think it's important to recall that when Pro Farmer goes through, they only go through the highest production counties, was down at about 193 bushels to the acre. Is that going to make a big difference?
Well, it sure could, Todd, because like you said, they did not go to the poorer producing counties. They didn't go across southern Illinois where we had some drought factors. They didn't hit many of the places in northern Illinois that had limited moisture, maybe not drought, but a setback in yields. And if we could take Illinois and drop them back, say 7 to 10 bushel on this, that's going to make a lot of difference in the national average. Also, as we were listening, Minnesota didn't sound real strong either as compared to what the USDA had to say. So if we could knock Illinois down in the next report, if we could knock Minnesota back down in the next report, it might give us a little chance for a little bit of a rally in this corn market, even, with everything as hard as we've hit it over the last week.
Of course, we've not seen yet the Minnesota numbers, as they'll be released on Thursday evening, and we're recording just a bit before this. However, Merrill, we've heard enough about Minnesota across a large part of the southern part of the state. I think maybe most of it, just so much rainfall that they ran out of gas. One of the analysts saying, look, this crop is neon green when it should be forest green.
Well, again, we won't know how that comes out as we get farther into the year, and I think we're back to a situation where the combines are going to have to decide this for us. I just don't see enough evidence either way to say whether we're going to go higher or lower. Currently, where I see their numbers coming out versus their numbers last year, it would certainly suggest that the USDA is going higher, but it's hard to. I guess we got to wait till Chip says what he thinks the total yield is going to be on Friday. And I would say that you got Minnesota that's probably going to be cut back a little bit, maybe Iowa, and could be Illinois. Now, that's just based on the yields we actually saw from them. But if you look at what they did last year, it would be a big increase in production.
If that is the case, that's number one, Iowa, number two, Illinois, and number four, Minnesota, could be down. So we'll watch those numbers as they come out. Given that, at this point, it looks like the crop is really good. USDA says it's that is the case. And even the numbers that come out from the tour are looking like really pretty good numbers most of the time. Earlier in the year, as we talked to grain elevator operators, they said, look, we've got a lot of grain. We know this is the case. It's left over from last year. We have a crop that's going to come in early. This appears to be a potentially big problem, not only maybe for Chicago, but for basis across the nation.
Well, it has been a big problem for basis. The elevators are full, trying to get rid of what's coming in. And you just drive anywhere around the Midwest here, and you can see a bunch of grain trucks running back and forth trying to deliver grain coming off the farm or trying to empty out an elevator somewhere. And your basis levels right now are probably running at least 15, maybe 20 cents over where we were last year. Part of the problem with the basis is the beans, because you have no demand at the Gulf. And so that demand is being basically filtering through the whole system, and we're cutting our bean basis. Just noticed today, even with yesterday's big drop in the price, we saw bean basis at the Gulf drop 8 to 12 cents through the next 3 months.
Yeah, that's entering some marketing decisions we go in this fall. You think we lived in North Dakota or South Dakota here. It's amazing how wide we've stretched out, and it could get wider yet. So that's going to be an issue. But just going back to production, hot spots and cold spots and basis and cash bids, Texas particularly got hit hard. You got to remember, Texas is a feedlot area, and they raise some corn, but they're going to have to import a lot more corn to the feedlot area, so there could be some decent rail bids going down to Hereford, Texas. So that's something to keep in mind if you have access to that. But that's the key in here. Even though your local basis might be sloppy, you got to look for that ethanol, that livestock feeder, to see if you can't play catch up there.
Yeah, so the shuttle trains, if you happen to be on one of those, or if you're near an ethanol plant, you can see those jump up pretty quickly, but they'll probably spike and leave almost immediately.
Well, Todd, also on Thursday we saw that the basis levels widened so much for nearby that it actually pays. You can pay storage and pay carry to carry your beans into January now. Mm-hmm. So let alone what we think might be a little bit of increase for that point in time. They're telling us they don't want our beans now. The government program, which we don't know what it's going to say till Monday, or at least Monday, is what Secretary Perdue said, they're sort of talking like you need to market your beans or have them hauled in or whatever for a possibility to get your whatever the payment's going to be, which is forecast or rumored to be $1.65. We don't know that it's going to be that, but that it. But it looked like the commercials wanted to take a little more than their fair share of that $1.65 or whatever it turns out to be.
Yeah, but they're trying to take that share, and in the same process, well, explain this to me, because really what they're saying is, go ahead, store the beans commercially, and we'll pay you to do that and make it right for you. But are you saying they're taking a little bit off the top of what they think the government payments is by doing this?
Well, I mean, we've hardly ever been able to pay commercial storage in contract for January price. That's very unusual. They're either trying to get you, you know, they either want to make storage, good storage, or they want you to sell the beans, and they've widened their basis out. The last few years, the elevators had a very rough time. The basis levels haven't been tight at harvest, or they've been tight at harvest. They haven't been wide at harvest like they have been, and they haven't narrowed in as much because of the way the farmer, with all the storage he's put out there. And they're getting a little greedy at wanting to get a little bit of this money back this year.
Well, I'm not promoting some wrongdoing here, but we're very close to the river. We're very close to Decatur, and we're very close to the ethanol plants. But the thing is the way the whole system was set up is the delivery process. And being that close to a delivery along the river there, you'll be able to go ahead and hedge and make a physical delivery and come out there. It is not necessary to cremate the basis.
Meaning you think this basis is wider than it should be?
It kind of appears that way, according to my calculator.
Well, here's the problem. You've got a situation where we're going to walk into September. If the crop is smaller, then that trends you up for the crop to continue to move smaller into January. If the crop is larger, it's going to move into larger. And right now, all the commercials are setting up for the crop to move larger. And so as long as that takes place, even though you might want to store and you get paid to store, the price could move down enough that it's going to hurt you to store. So that's kind of the decision you have to sit down and look at and decide upon.
The basis is wide. The elevators are saying, I don't want your soybeans. If you can deliver me, if you can put them in commercial storage, this is going to work. That's the option you have at this point. Should producers consider that option is really the question for their soybeans?
Consider
commercial storage.
I don't like commercial storage, never have. I don't like the basis right now, and that's why I say it's a difficult situation to be in. But, you know, as I look at these markets right now, and if I see the bean size getting larger with the USDA report next time, then I think we got enough downside in the market that you should be sold, and, you know, the basis is just going to have to be that's what you're going to have to be satisfied with. Earlier this year, we were making sales up around 4.17, and the basis was 35 under. And at that time, I didn't think that was a good idea to be selling it, but I couldn't really see anything at the time that would suggest that we were going to be that much tighter at fall. And now we're actually wider, so the sales we made then were a good thing. Unless something changes in the size of the crop or China says that we're done with the trade disputes on the soybeans, I see nothing here to help this basis come back like we were expecting.
I think that one thing is, number one, what's your cash flow? Do you need the money now or can you wait till January? If you can sell them for January, pay the storage and collect more dollars and over what interest you would be able to stop with the money you have, that's better than taking your money now if you're in that situation. If you're in the situation where you can stop some high interest, you take the money, do it, you turn in. We don't know what the program is. We won't know till at least Monday what it is and what the rules are. That will help us make a lot better decision. We can play the game a lot better when we know the rules. It's hard to say. You know, at our meeting last night, we were kept being asked, well, if I do this, can I do this, can I do that? And we repeatedly said, we don't have the rule book yet, we don't know. It's hard to figure and put all the figures down until we see the rules. But I do think for the guy that doesn't need the money immediately, if there's still this wide basis, it's going to pay him to store.
When you talk about wide basis and trying to capture the carry, that I'm not insinuating put an elevator and store it or in the bin and just set on and do nothing. That's the disaster. You got to be like an elevator. You got to actually do some hedging. You got to go to hedging 101. Whenever you had wide basis, you basically hedge the futures, then you wait for the basis to narrow. There's some grain companies that's made multi-millions of dollars buying grain at a wide basis, hedging on it, and setting on it, and rolling those hedges and waiting for the basis to narrow up. So you just don't want to pretend you're capturing the carry by storing it and doing nothing.
So producers are used to using HTAs, sometimes called other things, but that's what you're suggesting might be the possibility, so that you go ahead and hedge the crop out but wait for the basis to narrow in at delivery?
Well, I wouldn't use a hedge to arrive. I'd call Merrill or Wayne or Kurt up and do a good old-fashioned hedge through your nice broker here, or else some type of downside risk strategy. It could be a combination of futures options or whatever.
like you say, there again, as we're talking about the basin, you know, somehow set a price, whether you're doing the futures like that. Leave yourself wide open. Now, like Kurt said, you want to do a future or an option like that, because that tells you, because in this year, especially with the large production that we probably will have, certain elevators in certain places are going to have a lot of difference in basis, especially for stored corn compared to stored corn or beans compared to what's in the elevator. We have a picked up bid that's generally a lot higher because they don't have control of it. So, I mean, along the way, depending on what it is, keep your options open so you can go to the best elevator, the ethanol plant, the soybean processing plant, or wherever down the road. That's where it's going to pay you.
I believe we started this conversation as it related to corn and the available storage and that crop, which was now old crop, that still needed to move into the system. So let's come back to corn and what you think producers should do with their new crop, especially that which they're not going to put away in a bin.
Well, I think the same points apply. You have what is your personal situation? Because really, if you need money, you really don't have a choice to sit there and do a hedge to arrive. So you've got to do something that makes you money. And unfortunately, usually that equates to making a sale. With a sale, you have the floor. Now, you can also store the grain and try to capture the carry in an elevator, and you can use a put. You're going to spend, what, 15, 20 cents for a put? And although if this crop comes out larger, I think we have more downside coming, you're still looking at last year's low, about 335, and we're currently at 361 today. So you don't have a lot of downside risk to be spending 10 or 20 cents for a put option. My point being is I think you just go ahead and sell that, and if you're going to put your money at work for you, you buy something in a call option that's 20, that helps you take advantage of an upward move. You get 95% of your money to work with. No, I don't like the basis we have. But in that particular situation where you need the money, I think that's how you handle it.
I'm going to search out for some things that might be more friendly to the market, and you can go ahead and talk about the corn side and marketing as well. But wheat across the planet has been in trouble all season long, and sometimes that can lead us out of some really rough situations. When you couple that with the idea that we're really not having that big of a carryout, at least yet, in corn, is there opportunity down the road still?
Yeah, wheat's one of the brighter spots. Every country in the world raises wheat. Every country in the world is having problems with wheat or had problems with wheat. All eyes are on Australia. They're extremely dry. They're in a situation where they are receiving some rains in the eastern part. We'll have to see if that's a drought buster or not. But you're tightening up the world supply-demand balance sheet on wheat. The significance of that is the milling quality wheat is very high priced, and there's less feed wheat to go around. And it's brought the feed wheat up. And so what we're looking at is a situation when you're a feeder, feed wheat versus corn, it's going to probably stimulate more corn feeding as we move forward down the road and through here. So the thing is, we got to get the wheat demand coming to the U.S. The wheat demand's outright purchase is not here yet. That'll be more this fall, so we need to make sure we capture some of that world wheat business. Locally, new crop wheat prices are strong, but the situation we've run into is guys wanting to plant wheat. Wheat seed is not that available. I know Wayne shared some stories of some guys trying to get a hold of, secure a good quality wheat seed is not there. Bin run wheat still might be around, but actual wheat's hard to come by.
I suppose I was going to follow up with that. You know, there will be some producers in the southern part of Illinois and Indiana and maybe further up north, too, that might consider wheat in their rotation, especially if they believe there will be a very burdensome corn carryout by the time we get to 2019. And they've got to look at that and make the decision today. If they make that decision, do they need to market at the same time?
I think that you want to take advantage of that. I mean, the levels, the $6 levels aren't there, but the $5.50, $5.60 levels are still there. And that's been a 50 to 75 cents more than what we've got the last couple of years. If you're in an area that can produce some good wheat and you can get the seed, we've had a lot of people that have hedged quite heavily, and they're going to grow quite a bit of wheat this next year, and they're going to double crop beans behind it, or planning on it at this point in time. And between the two, that's done a real good program for most of them.
So we're worried a little bit about the number of acres of corn that might show up next year, and I'm going to look into 2019 at this point, but stay with wheat for a moment. Do we believe that those producers that are in those wheat, traditional wheat-growing regions, which have come on, in particular Kansas as a corn producer, maybe the Dakotas as well, will they put more wheat acres in again this year, much like some of them did last year?
Certainly had the pricing opportunities for wheat to expand our wheat acres if we can get the seed. You have the corn situation, which hasn't been exactly pleasant this year with the dryness in the in Kansas and that part. Then you're going to have to look at the economics of the thing. The economics for corn planting tend to be a lot higher than wheat and soybeans. So you may not find the expansion in the corn acres as big as they might be thinking. Again, how high do we rally when we have this demand for the corn show up? Probably in the first quarter of this year.
Let's take a moment and wrap things up now and get a final word from each of you as we look forward into a fall harvest season that is not going to be the easiest in the world for producers as it relates to pricing their crop.
Yeah, it's it depends where we are. If we keep trending lower here, it's going to make the calculators and guys pushing the pencil a lot more active. And guys are fairly receptive to that. They're looking at different options. And there's going to be opportunities there if you could continue to keep your pencil sharp and look for those. But I just wish everybody a safe and a bountiful harvest this fall.
Thank you so much. Kurt Kimmel, of course, is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana.
Well, I think there's a great opportunity here this year. I think we're going to have enough bushels that it's going to make up for some of our other mistakes and what's going on, but we're also going to have some really problems of what we do with all of our crop. Do we have a place to put it? We know of three of our new our customers that bought baggers this year, and they're going to bag it and put it out there and put it back, and they're going to price it for later down the road. I think there's been a real opportunity. We're going to see a lot of wheat put in our area, and that won't be extra corn acres, and they've got it hedged, so they're in good shape that way. But I think it's going to be a real year to look and see what opportunities are available as maybe selling, buying a call to hold it again, or actually storing it somehow, some way, somewhere on your farm.
And Merrill Crowley, of course, is with Midwest Market Solutions. Merrill?
Looking at some of these surveys, when they were talking to farmers of what's going on and why they might be marketing or not marketing, one of the bigger things came up is their lack of knowledge of what the options were, understanding the definitions, or even heads to arrives, or what all the contracts were. One of the number one contracts, of course, was the cash sale or the cash forward sale. So if you've got questions about how to use an option or how it will work in your situation, how to hedge, what is a hedge to arrive, all three of us are more than happy to answer your questions and do what we can to help you. That's why we started our businesses.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online, listen to the whole of our programming anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. You can also find us in iTunes, the Google Play Store, and SoundCloud, Stitcher, and on NPR One, any other place that you might listen to a podcast. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Merrill Crowley. He is with Midwest Market Solutions out of Watseka, Illinois. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.